The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world where the line between right and wrong has become increasingly blurred, it is of utmost importance that believers are able to stand firmly on the Word of God. Stay tuned as Pastor Ben Lawson from Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills in Aberdeen, North Carolina, brings us another teaching from the Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on The Cutting Edge.
All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the education and spirituality I received from her. Who said that? George Washington. Pretty cool. Finally, few roles are as intense, demanding, and important as that of a mother. Seriously. I believe that with all my heart. So, please pray with me for our moms here today, asking the Lord to place a special anointing on them of His love and His grace. I want to begin my message this morning with a true story that may be familiar to some of you. You mightn't have remembered the story or might have received it in the mail recently. I don't know, but I want to begin my message with this. Some of you might have remembered a true story that was reported and familiar to some of you. It's about the horrendous fires and that ravaged Yellowstone National Park in June of 1988. Now, I was alive, but maybe some of you weren't, but there were huge, tremendous fires there in 88. I was out west then, and I remembered them. They were horrendous. At any rate, Yellowstone National Park in June of 88. Birds and ground creatures fled from their nests and everywhere that they lived. They fled for their lives, as animals do. They're instinctively, God has given them that to flee from fire as flames race through the forest. One of those birds was a little mother in that forest who had laid her eggs in a bush at the base of a tree. After the fires had been extinguished, a park ranger found her charred body still on the nest. She had remained on her eggs as she burned. They survived. She did not. Now, when I come up with that and I read that, I cried. Because right around that time, my sister calls me. I'm doing fine. I'm studying. I'm putting all this together. And she tells me, "Hey, Ben, did you know tomorrow on Mother's Day, it's exactly 1 year from when we lost our mom?" I lost it. And I couldn't study hardly anything. And then I read this and I lost it again. So yeah, it's tough for many of us. Todd lost his mother. Many of us have lost our mothers. It's tough. I know one couple that won't come on Mother's Day. It's just too painful. I don't understand that. I pray, though, before the day's over that you see God's great grace and you rejoice. Rejoice. It's a wonderful picture of a mother's love for her babies, just like you moms this morning. God put something within her that was more powerful than life, despite the terror that swirled around her. Most human mothers have a measure of that same devotion, same faith, same desire. I know my mom would have given her life for me in a heartbeat if the circumstances required it. And I know every one of you this morning would as well. And so with that being said, let's turn to our text in Proverbs 31. And I pray that you all have Bibles. If you don't, raise your hand and someone will get a Bible into your hand. Or maybe you can use someone's iPhone. As we turn to Proverbs 31 to take a look at our text, in which I have entitled today's Mother's Day message, Supermom. Supermom. Proverbs 31. Now, I agree with my sister. We were talking this morning saying, you know, Father's Day, Mother's Day, I don't see that in the Bible. Let's just go ahead and just teach God's Word. Let's just pick up in Mark and continue. Oh, man, I'm all about that. But we are still living on this planet. And there's things that God has allowed for us, holidays, like, you know, Christmas. Why do we do Christmas? I mean, you know, come on. Jesus never told us to do Christmas. But there's things that I believe with all my heart that God has allowed humans to come up with, like polio shots, like, you know, heart wards and hospitals, to enhance the idea that God loves moms. And our Lord loved his mother. And so I think that this is apropos just the same. And so Proverbs 31, before we start, I need to give you a little backdrop on this. Solomon wrote this, started Proverbs. He wrote three there, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastics. And this proverb, Proverbs, 31 of them, he wrote midlife. But when he started becoming old, I don't know what age, maybe 60, maybe 65. I don't know what was old back in those days. But, you know, usually I'd say 60, 65. I'm 65. I'm old. My granddaughter tells me I'm old all the time, so I must be old. And so he writes this kind of at the end of his life, so to speak. And so when he writes this, it's more of a remembrance. And how you sit down and go, you know, mom told me, and mom used to do this, and mom used to do that. And so knowing that, let's begin. Verse 1. Chapter 31 of Proverbs. The words of King Lemuel, the utterances which his mother taught him. Now, we need to know, well, who? I don't see Solomon. Who is Lemuel? Well, have you ever had a mom have a pet name for your kid? Hands? Come on, everyone has. Yeah, you know you do. Of course you do. You know, whether it be Squeaky or... My granddaughter and I said, "What's some nicknames, honey, that we call you?" She goes, "Babe," she got like 100 of them, "Baby Ducks," "Bella." I think that's beautiful in Italian, but many. And so this was a pet name that Bathsheba. You remember her, right? She didn't start off so well, did she? In the Bible, anyway. She's an adulteress. She messed up. And so this is Solomon remembering what his mother had said. Now he starts off by remembering some warnings that his mother gave him. And I think it's apropos to read these warnings because moms, these are probably some of the same warnings you've told your kids or you should tell your kids as they grow up. Begin with, "What, my son?" question mark. "And what, son of my womb? And what, son of my vows?" And here we go. "Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings." Now, what does that mean? Well, we look at that, and it talks about immorality. Not immortality, but immorality. Whether it be a man or a woman, don't go out and give yourself prematurely to someone before you get married. Don't do that. Live in purity. Now, how many times have we told our sons and daughters, look, live in purity. Yeah. Don't be hanging out someplace where you shouldn't be hanging out with a boy or a girl, you know, kind of thing, right? And when we do find that out that they have been crossing that line, oh, we get upset, don't we? We get the cage, we put them in the cage, we lock the cage, we give them food underneath the cage. You're never going to see the light of day again, kind of thing. But here, Bathsheba tells him, hey, remember this, it's important. And nor your ways, and we're going to get to your ways in a minute, what ways are, to that which would destroy kings. Verse 4, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, It is not for kings repeats yourself, and I won't go through that. That's a big deal when people repeat themselves in the Bible. To drink wine, nor for princesses intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. What's he saying here? He's saying, look, if you're just a humdrum guy, you're not a deacon, you're not an elder, you're not a pastor, you just come, you know, drinking, that's between you and the Lord, you know, a beer here, a glass of wine there. But if you're a king, or if you're a prince, man, watch out. Because, man, you know, you're like that. The enemy's there. He wants to destroy, he wants to kill the leaders of churches, the leaders of our country. And don't do this, because you get drunk and you'll start taking the law, and you won't perceive the law rightfully. This is what he says. In Isaiah, it talks about the priest drinking way too much, and God comes down and he just says, look, you guys, cut it out, because you're perversing the law of God. You're forgetting the law of God. And you go, well, I don't know about all that. Well, let me ask you a question. What city is the largest consumption of liquor? Anyone?
Biggest Vatican?
Well, no. In the United States?
Washington, D.C.
Oh, now I know. Now I get it. The Lord told us, you know. The largest consumption of liquor in the United States is Washington, D.C. Wow. Pervert the laws. Pervert the justice of all the afflicted. And then it continues and says, if you're going to give strong drink back in those days, give strong drink to someone who's very, very sick or bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty. Remember his misery no more. He's not actually telling them to drink. It's kind of like when Paul said, look, Timothy, if you got a stomach problem, drink a little wine, man, for your stomach. It's more some tonic to help you sleep. And that's if you're sick or you're in misery. Not a prince, not a king, not someone that's a leader. I'm here to tell you, I'm not strong on drink. I used to be a lot. I probably put Washington, D.C. to shame. But I recognize that when I became an elder, that the Bible tells me there's no drink. Deacons, not much drink. And I'm not, like I said, down on alcohol. It's a freedom, a liberty between you and God. But when I look at the scriptures, people that lead, people that are that lead other people, that are leaders ordained by God, whether it be in government or in churches. Now, a lot of people's got a lot of things to say about our current president, but I'll say this one thing. When it comes to drinking, he doesn't. He just doesn't drink. He will not drink. I like that. Every president we've had in the past 50 years drink some. Republican, Democrat, whatever. But he just doesn't drink. I like that. And so it continues and says, and so again, his mother's giving him this information. Look, you're going to be king. Don't be drinking all the time. It's not a good thing. You're going to have to be, you know, doing laws and everything else. And so then verse 8 says, open your mouth for the speechless. In the case of all who are appointed to die, open your heart, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. In other words, Solomon, you're going to be king, your mom says. And you guys, I've heard you tell your kids, listen, be nice, and especially be nice to the needy, to the poor. And just because you're white, black, brown, pink, whatever, you know, be nice. Love each other. You know, that's our Lord. And he tells him these things. And he says, be nice to these people. Well, you know, 1 Kings 12, 1 through 4. I don't have that here because I don't want to turn there and take the time. But there's a story. And it's this when Solomon is beginning to be king. And there's a little bit of revolt with some of his brothers. And he wins out. Now he's a king. And he's determining what to do. And the old guys like me and They come to the king, this young king, and says, Solomon, check this out. David was kind of tough on taxes, heavy taxes. He wanted to make sure he gave you a bunch of money to build the temple. And our storerooms are full of money. I mean, full of money. David really set Solomon up. I don't know if you guys knew that, but he did. He just really set him up. So Solomon goes, oh, okay. He says, so listen, step off of all these taxes you got going on. Step off of all these needy and poor people that you're taking from. Do that. Will you do that? Solomon says, I don't know, probably, I guess. He goes, well, let me check out with all the young guys that I got, all my buddies, that I'm going to bring them in under my administration as well. So he checks with them, and all the young bucks say, no, man, put it on them double. Put it on them double. And by the way, how many wives does Solomon have? Anybody know? 300 wives and 700 concubines. 1,000 women. Is he crazy? He's a punch. Wants to be punished daily. but his mother, so is he listening to his mom? Is he? I don't think so. Don't drink? Hey, we know that he had all these parties in Proverbs. He's like all these parties. He had Queen of Sheba come in and he had circuses and wine. Said that wine flowed for a month. They were drunk for a month. Now, in my BC days, I put some binges on before a month. So are you catching the drift here? She's telling him all these things. And he says, okay, Mom, no problem. He's doing exactly the opposite of what his mother's advice is, her counsel. And so, you know, he listens to the young guys and he triples the taxes, double the taxes on the people when he was a young king. Until he came to God and said, what do you want? And he said, well, I got everything I need. I just need wisdom. And then once he got wisdom, he rescinded all the harsh taxes. But his heart was not for the needy. And so we have all this cool stuff that Bathsheba is telling him. All this neat stuff. And then in verse 10, Solomon is pondering the words of his wise mother. He begins a remembrance of her, and it's like a Mother's Day card. Now remember, his mother's already gone. She's in heaven. And now he writes a Mother's Day card. He starts thinking about how wonderful she was. And it was a thing that he sat and he strode and he penned and he said, wow, this is what I remember. He starts in 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. In other words, she's a real gem. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. And so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. And so this speaks of financial things. Things that maybe a supermom would be frugal. She doesn't run the credit cards up. She makes sure that there's money left over. She goes and she's very frugal with credit, even if she has credit. This means that she's frugal. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. Again, let's continue. 14, and she is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. Stop there for a minute. Give me your attention. And so she works with her hands and she crochets and she makes afghans and she does quilting. And I remember my grandmother used to do that. And she's okay with that, working with her hands. And this is a queen, by the way, David's wife. And look here. She shops it. Look. It says, yeah, she gets a deal off the boat. with the food. You would think she'd just order the food, but no, not Bathsheba. Man, look at this. At least this is what Solomon's remembering. I remember when we used to go down to, and so she, just because she has a lot of money, she's still frugal. She shops at places like, and she continues to work with her hands. And look at this. She also rises while it is yet night and provides spiritual food. That food there in the Hebrew is spiritual food. It's also physical food, but it's also spiritual food. Spiritual food for her household and a portion of her maidservants. She prepares breakfast. She makes sure everyone has something before they leave. No, my wife, she gets up before I do, and she's out the door at 8, and I'm getting up 7:30, 8. I used to sleep till 10, but that's way over. But no, I get up 7:30. Sometimes I get up at 6:30, but every time I got my coffee, and that's against, I'm going to get rebuked for that for God, because God says Hebrews, not Shebrews. Okay, so I'm going to have to change that in my life. But she's always got a little something there, because she knows I'll just drink the coffee, take my medicine, run the shower, I'm out the door, and then about 11 o'clock, I'm like, my stomach, and so she leaves something there. And look, it says right here, and I got to thinking about this. Maidservants, and a portion to her maidservants here. I have a couple manservants downstairs who live in our basement. My nephew's over here. And when they come upstairs and knock on the door, they go, "What did Aunt Carla make this morning?" It's like, "Oh, here's some sandwiches, dude." Like, yes. It continues and says, of course, now this is a super mom, okay? Starts her day off good. She considers a field and buys it. And her profits, she plants a vineyard. Oh my goodness, she's a real estate agent, and this woman is unbelievable. Not only is she a real estate agent, but she does stuff. Plants a vineyard. She girds herself up with strength and strengthens her arms. She's a novice woman. She works out at the gym every day. Where does this woman find the time? Probably when she clears the field, she does those stones and bricks and all. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Perceives is good. She doesn't buy junk. She doesn't buy rotten food. Oh, she might go, but you know that stuff that so you look at and you go, "Ooh, how long has that been there?" But there is some fruit there that I've gone by, and I'm like, "Not me," kind of thing. But she perceives everything she buys. She just don't buy junk. She gets the best food for the best price. And she's thumping that cantaloupe, and she's looking at the expiration date. I bought some milk the other day. It was expired, and I didn't even know it. I just bought it. It was expired. I brought it home and said, "Unc, this is like 4 days expired. You just got it yesterday." What's up with that? That never happens. And you ladies, you just like that. God puts that kind of thing in your heart. And so she takes care of those kind of things. And her lamp does not go out by night. She doesn't poop out until the task is done. She just doesn't. I've seen you ladies. I've heard stuff. Us guys, "Oh, we're going to bed." Well, if our kids need extra homework or need something, you think we're in there helping them out with their homework? No. It's our wives, the moms. A special project, and we do occasionally, especially if the special project is, for your son, and you want to build something like, either monster cars or army stuff. But besides that, forget it. Usually it's the moms that's doing the laundry late at night. Hey, you guys don't poop out. You get up early in the morning, and you go all the way till evening and into the evening. I was talking to a couple one time, and I said this. Let me ask you this. They were kind of arguing about, "Hey, I do more than she, and she does more post-marriage counseling." And I said, "Okay, dude, I've got a question for you. You ever watched the TV show?" And I named it. "Yeah." "Have you?" "No." "Have you ever watched that show?" "Yeah. Blacklist is awesome." "Have you?" "No." Have you? And I went down this, and you know, it's just like maybe she watches one show that she likes, and I'm like, this guy's watching every show. I go, what do you do? You get home, you know, you're watching all this TV, and when she's not watching, doesn't even know any shows, he stopped and went, maybe you got a point there. I get it. But she's running through the house when I'm watching the show. I mean, she kind of gets a glimpse here and there. No, she's working, dude. She's doing the laundry. She's doing the dishes. She's getting prepared for work. She's doing this. She's doing that. You're probably right. So this is what moms do. It's what they've done for years, and I believe that God has innately put that in them. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. Two things she does here. She has compassion, and she actually gives of herself or something she makes or something she sees. Look, how many times has my wife been out at somewhere, and she sees something for somebody else? And she gets it, and she brings it home. I go, what's that? Oh, I got to thinking about someone, and they needed this. They've been looking for it, and so I got it for them. You did what? How much you pay for it? And she's like, okay, Pastor, so compassionate and loving. No, but how much did you pay for it? You know, kind of a thing. And we, you know, us guys, it's just like, but you ladies, you got that compassion. You know your best friend. You got a friend, right? And when you see something in the store that the friend's been wanting, you go, oh, I'm going to buy it for him. Us guys, I see something in the store, and I go, you know, such and such a guy. He wants it. He can get it himself. I'll tell him where he gets it. I'll let him know where he can get it, you know, kind of a thing. That's us. But not you girls. You've got that thing that you love people, and you work and hold the spindle. You're just working. And that's holding the spindle. It's like you're making something for somebody. I don't think I've ever made anything in my life for another dude. That's what, I'll tell them where to buy it, you know, kind of a thing. She extends her hand to the poor. We've talked about that. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. Helps ministry. I know a lot of you ladies have been in the helps ministry. She heads it up, and, you know, how many times, I'm going to kind of bust on you guys, how many times she comes out and she grabs me in tears and says, Pastor, you don't know how many women signed up for this particular ministry. Awesome stuff, man. Good stuff. Bunch of people. You know, you've got this thing in your heart. And, you know, us guys, go down and buy a bucket of chicken. Here's a couple bucks. Kind of thing. Helps ministry. Verse 21, she is not afraid of snow, for her household is prepared. For all her household is clothed with scarlet. Oh, she's a woman. I asked my wife last night. Does anyone go, oh yeah, she's one of those stylists, like, you know, no one knows her. I guess she makes women's clothes, and, you know, but look here, this the whole thing. You know, one thing that I see in moms, and that this mom did, was, you know, when their season changes, especially here. And when their season changes, is it the dad that goes to the drawers of the kids and change out their drawers from summer to winter? Oh, I think so. They don't even know where it is. Look, my wife changes out my stuff and my kids' stuff. That's what they do. That's what you girls do. And if I need something, hey, where's that coat? Downstairs, second closet. I don't know where it is. I have no clue. I'd die. I'd freeze to death. It's like, you ladies, you look and you have this thing about you, and you just, like, you go, well, my kids need this, and there's snow coming, and it's going to be cold next month, and so maybe I should buy that. Us guys, when it's snowing, 40 foot of snow on the ground, then we decide we better get a coat for our kid. They're like, you guys are like that. God's given you that. She makes tapestries for herself. Bedspreads and quilts and things. Her clothing is of fine linen, purple. She dresses nice. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land and serves God. Oh, I imagine that guy can't. She does everything else. Let's go down and shoot the breeze at the guys at the gate, okay? Sure, your wife's doing her thing. Yep, sure is. Proverbs 31, I don't have to do nothing. So they get to go down. No, actually, I make fun of that. But here, it's a reference to spiritual things in the synagogue. You know, it's a sin, I think it is, for our women and moms to do all these things. And the only thing they ask is that we are spiritual men of God. And we won't be. I don't really want to get involved with that too much, you know. Now, work, I'm trying to think how I can get the next pay raise. Spiritual things? Ah. She's doing all this so these men at the gates, they're elders of the synagogue. That's where the church stuff took place. The meetings. One thing that I thank my wife for, she took care of our five kids to the point where she would say, no, I got this. I want you to get involved with church. Church! Yeah, come on, just go down there. Get off the couch, go down there. Hang out. Do something. Trim the bushes. Something. Okay. You know, it's either that or take care of the kids. Which one you want, honey? I'll go down to church. And she pushed me. Every time there was a conference, every time there was a meeting, every time there was anything, she was like, it's a men's meeting. Get up. Get down there. Donuts. You love donuts, don't you, big boy? Yeah, I like donuts. Well, get down there. She would push me to these spiritual things. You think I was a spiritual giant? No, I thought I'm the spiritual giant. I did nothing. I barely make it to church on Sunday. And then she pushed me. She gently, and it wasn't with a whip. She was just like, come on, honey. Just that nagging, drippy faucet every day. It was good. It was good. She knew I needed that. And so, ladies, you know, remember that, okay? Because when your husband gets fired up for Jesus, man, they'll be helping you with your chores, helping you train up your kids, and spiritual men of God. When God gets a hold of us, look out. It's just a little hard for God to get a hold of us. We're a little stubborn. But when he does, oh, man. And that's what our wives want. And so she's doing these things so her husband can sit at the gate. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Again, she's working, she's finding out ways to make money. Tupperware parties, you know, I know you girls do that kind of thing. But there's all kinds of things that you ladies have done that helps out the family. You work another job. You do mercy meals. You cut down trees with your husband. There's all kinds of things that you do, and your heart's into that. It's just not, well, you know, I teach God's word, and that's all I'm going to do. No, you guys are, and so did Bathsheba. She was so influential with her being busy and doing all the things she should do as a mom. All kinds of things that moms do to make it work. Strength and honor are her clothing, inside clothing. She's strength and she's honor. She shall rejoice in time to come. She laughs a lot. She's joyful. She doesn't walk around like she's been eating green persimmons. She's the joy of the house. She tries to keep, you know, things going. And men, if you downtrod that and throw water on that, shame on you. Sometimes I used to. What are you so happy for? Why do you always have to be jumping around here with joy? What's wrong with you? Things aren't so good, you know? And that, I should have been, this is a long time ago, I should have been beat. Someone should have come to my house, took me outside, beat me. That's just horrible. And so when moms, when you do that, I can remember my mom, you know, I knew things were kind of tough in our family sometimes, but my mom would just, she kind of, you know, make things better. You know, she just did. I don't know if your moms did, but I think women are just like that. She opens her mouth with wisdom. That means there's no chatter, chatter, chatter. No chatty Cathy in her. And when she does speak, she speaks wisdom. And she speaks love unto one another. And on her tongue is the law of kindness. She said she's kind to people. When she speaks about people, she speaks kindness. She doesn't speak stuff like, oh, you know them. You know. That's gossip. That's what usually guys do. You know those. You know him. I say nothing, but you know. That's evil. I don't see most moms doing that. And here, Bathsheba didn't do that. She was kind to people. There was no chatter. It was kindness when she spoke. She watches over the ways of her household. Here's what moms do. We're working, us guys, and we think that that's all we should do many times, just work. Make sure the car works. Make sure that we got our fishing rods. Work, you know, kind of thing. And here's what my wife did, and most of you moms did. When something was going on with the kids, you knew. I know there's many moms in here that has that intuition, that when they walked in that door and you looked at their little faces and you knew something was up. And they look at you and go, oh, nothing's up. And you go, something's up. Tell me, how come mom always knows something's up? Well, you get over in your dad. Hey, Dad, what's going on? Hey, how you doing, son? You know, kind of a thing. I'm telling you, my son could never get over on my wife. Never. He'd come in and she'd say it's something and he would look up at her and say, okay, spill it, Jacob, because I know something's up. You know, this, your mom's got that, don't you? You got that. And so you look, so you know what's going on in your family. You're not that you're the leader of the family, but man, you're the facilitator. You got all these irons in the fire. You know what's going on. You know how much bread to get, what you're making for dinner, what the kids' grades are, who they're hanging out with, who they're not hanging out with, who they're messing up with. You know it all. And then at night, the guy's like wanting to fall asleep, and you're going, honey, after you got the kids to bed, you go, honey, I got to talk about little Jerry, your little Bobby, your little Billy. What, honey, what? Well, I want to tell you, wake up. Wake up. And you guys give us those important, and especially military, gives the important statistics and condition of the family. Because you know all of our ways. She watches over the ways of her household. Awesome stuff. Good stuff. There's no way my kids get over me easy. My granddaughter, I wouldn't even go there. I can't say no. She just gets me every time I see her. I like it, though. And she knows the ways. And she reports them to me and lets me know and does not eat the bread of idleness. There's no gossip in this woman's mouth. She wouldn't gossip if you had a gun to her head. She just doesn't go there. That's not an option for her. She doesn't gossip, and she's kind to people. Her husband also. Her husband praises her. I guess he does. A woman like that, a super mom. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but women who fear the Lord and shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands. Boy, does she deserve it. And let her own works praise her at the gates. And that gates is the gates there in Jerusalem and also the gates of heaven. And so, what shall we say? At the end of Ecclesiastes, well, first of all, he writes this beautiful Mother's Day card to his mother. Mother's gone. Now, while Bathsheba's on earth, Solomon is doing all this wretched stuff. He's drinking, he's alcoholic, he's womanizing, he's mean to people. All these things that she said, please don't do. And so she's looking at that and she's going, I've failed. I'm a failure. Even though I have put the word of God into his heart, I have failed. I have failed as a mother. There might be some here today that feel like that. Maybe you didn't get a card today for Mother's Day. Maybe you didn't even get a call today for Mother's Day. Well, you turn the page here in Ecclesiastes, and it's not the end of the story. For Solomon records, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanities of vanities, says the preacher, vanity, vanities, all is vanity. Wow, he become a preacher, and now he's still the king, but he's become a preacher over a king. And he's recognized that all these things he did was vanity. And so the last thing he says in Ecclesiastes 13 and 14 is, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Isn't that appropriate? Let's hear what the end result is. This is what he says. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this man's all. This is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Oh my goodness, are you kidding me? I wish my mom was here to hear that, he might say. He was so wretched, and he ends up with this 13 and 14 of Ecclesiastes 12. Interesting, the king would then pen this at the end of his life, reflecting on his own childhood, no doubt, of what Bathsheba had taught him. Proverbs 22:6 says this, train up a child in the way he should go. There's that way again. And when he is older, he will not depart from it. Oh, my goodness, Solomon, you're getting it. You understand that. You see, his mother trained him up in the way. What is the way? What is the way? Train up your child in the way that he should go. Isaiah 55, 8 through 11 tells us. I'll read that for you. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. There's a way again. Nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, and it may give seed to the sower, the bread to the eater. So shall, now that was, an example, and so 11 says this, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Wow. Moms, your kids might have been growing up. You brought them to church. You read some scripture to them. You prayed with them. And now they're out there on the back 40. They're out there. You don't know what's happened to them. I want to encourage you today. Bathsheba was the same way. She died with Solomon being a prodigal. See, what I'm saying is, don't give up hope, because God promises you, if you did any of that stuff growing up, you're going to come back to it. Now, you might not see it. You might see it on the other side of heaven, like Bathsheba had to. Bathsheba had to say, oh, he did finally get it. All right, way to go, my son. But she didn't see it when she was on this earth. What am I saying? Know this. I got some prodigals. But the more that I see them get older and older, and I'm like, wow, I'm a pastor. My wife, she put all kinds of stuff into them. My mother, if it wasn't for my mother, I wouldn't be saved. Well, the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But I'm saying, my mother had me in church, scripture, all that. But I was a prodigal, man. I did some horrible things. I mean, I was, wasn't very out there sowing to the world. And when she died, she told me, she was so glad and fortunate that I had come back to the faith. It's wonderful. And that's what I cling to. I mean, there was a time in my life and her life that she said, told me that all the things that she put in my life were for naught, and I was going to die in sin and go to hell. Boy, that sounds like my mom too. But it didn't happen because of God's promises. God's promises, ladies. And so for you ladies that feel like you're a failure, you're not. And for you ladies that are just starting, continue with the Word of God. Continue with bringing them up and training them up. And oh, they might jump off the ship, but God promises you that they will come back to the faith. And I believe that with all my heart. One more thing I want to read to you, and then we'll be done. When I was at the conference, God spoke to me about something. We have all sorts of messed up people that I know that even are in this church or that we've been messed with. Moms, men, fathers that have not been fathers, husbands that have not been husbands, that have treated you tough and rough and mean. Whether growing up in dysfunctional families or with abusive family members. In fact, life wasn't very good growing up at all for some of us. Or maybe you have tried to blow your life up like I did yourself with self-abusing, drinking, drugging, and abusing others. Well, folks, first of all, Jesus knows, and he wants and incredibly desires to pour his grace upon you, just not today, but every day. Grace, his love. So please, go to him every day. Ask, for he will give you his grace every day. Every day. As I said before, you're his girls. And by the way, this grace is reserved for the arnots, the ones that's blown it. I don't know about you, but I've blown it plenty of times. Reserved for the foolish. You ever felt foolish sometimes? I know I have. The downtrodden. Not for the prideful. It's not for the prideful, grace isn't. But for the humble. In closing, Chuck Swindoll wrote this. Almost nothing can penetrate the emotional armor worn by those who have been beaten down by life. Or by the righteous in our society. Almost nothing but Jesus, the only thoroughly righteous man, he knew the secret. He knew the only way to penetrate the sheath of calloused emotions was to extend grace. Grace has to be the loveliest word in the English language for those who've been downtrodden. Grace is hated by the self-righteous. It embodies almost every attractive quality we hope to find in others. Grace is a gift of the humble to the humiliated. Grace acknowledges the ugliness of sin by choosing to see beyond it. Grace accepts a person as someone worthy of kindness despite whatever grim or hard-shelled casing keeps him or her separated from the rest of the world. Grace is a gift of tender mercies when it makes the least of sense. Grace begets grace. And Jesus radiated his quality and quantity of this. His invitation, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, attract the very most elements of society while repelling the most self-righteous. And it won the shunned rabbis, a following of fiercely loyal disciples whom he shamelessly defended. That's why he picked those guys. As Brennan Manning noted, paradoxically, what intrudes between God and human beings is our fastidious morality and psycho and pseudo piety. It is not the prostitutes and tax collectors who find it most difficult to repent. It is the devout who feel they have no need to repent. That's why Jesus sent word to the Pharisees outside the house. It is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We should be honest like Levi, the tax collector, enough to admit that we are deadly ill without a Savior, without grace. And the disease of sin is going to take us out. But with grace, it'll never happen. And only grace is the number one thing, the only thing that can heal us. Moms, you deserve that grace. Today, I pray that you'd walk in it. If anyone tells you you've blown it, you're not good enough, you've done this, you done, just ignore that and walk in grace. Because if you're his girl, can't touch this. Amen.
That concludes our study for today. Please join us next time as Pastor Ben continues to teach us verse by verse through the whole Word of God and shows us how God's Word applies to our lives today. For more information about our Cutting Edge Radio Ministry or Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills, you can call us at 910-684-5296 or write to us at P.O. Box 102, Aberdeen, North Carolina, 28315. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelsandhills.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to know Him more.